Hello. I'm telling y'all, every single time I do a call, I get this woo, nervous. And I love it because it means I'm alive. It's always just a little scary, but I love it. So, how is everybody doing tonight? Say hi in the chat. There's Coach Me. She's going to be in here with us. I'm Coach Betsy, by the way. Coach Misha is going to be in the chat tonight. Oh, wait. Okay. I can't talk and do at the same time, y'all, apparently. Let me click and not something, not try to talk and click at the same time. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. All right. Let me pin myself. Because I'd like to look at myself while I'm talking. Okay. How's everybody doing tonight? Come on in. I'm Coach Betsy. Coach Misha's in the chat. She's going to be with y'all over there. This is a live coaching call focusing on binge eating. So if any of you all are interested in getting coached around, specifically around binge eating, that is why we're here. On Mondays, once a month. So it's just open coaching. As Mish said in the chat, raise your hand. I'll coach as many people as I can. I'm gonna do a little bit of teaching. I've been doing a bunch of studying, y'all, about binge eating and why we do it and why it makes so much sense and how the brain works. And I know y'all love all that kind of stuff. So I'm gonna be sharing with y'all some things I've been learning lately, and it's just fascinating. It's fascinating how when we learn how the brain works, when we learn how about our survival instincts, that binge eating just makes all the sense in the world for a lot of us. And I tell you what, that's the key to all of this is when we can make sense of this instead of feeling all the shame and judgment around it, then we'll probably end up doing it a lot less. Right. And y'all know I got to say it every time. I am someone who has a history of binge eating and I still do it every once in a while. And I am okay with that. Maybe one of these days I will never do it again. But right now I am okay with just doing it every once in a while, working on beating myself up a little bit less, working on feeling a little bit less shame around it. And moving on. So that's where I am. And y'all can have that same relationship with your binge eating because I just truly believe after I tell you all what I'm going to tell you in just a minute, it again makes so much sense that just every once in a while, it would just feel, really hard to not binge. And so I'm just okay with it. I'm okay with sometimes maybe I'm tired. Sometimes maybe I just don't have it in me and I just decide to give in to the urge to binge. And I can love myself through it every single time I make that choice, and y'all can too. Okay. So yeah, that's where we are. Karen Brent, I see you here in the chat. Little Birdie told me that you might be interested in getting some coaching. So it's totally up to you. But if you want to get coaching, feel free to raise your hand, okay? It's totally up to you, but we're here for you. Anybody else that wants to get coaching, please, please raise your hand. So let me tell y'all real quick what some stuff that I've learned about binge eating these last few weeks, the studying I've been doing. I'm always studying for y'all. Corinne sets the example for us and I always say she's the smartest person I know, and she learns more than anyone I've ever known. And I want to be like her. I don't think I study quite as much as she does, but I'd love to learn more about why we do what we do. Okay. And so specifically around binge eating, this little class that I'm in right now. We listen to these lessons and we have Zoom calls where we talk. But Something that really stood out for me in one of the more recent classes, and I've got my notes right here because I take notes and then I go back and highlight my notes. But it says the brain is literally wired against restriction. And when I say restriction, what do I mean? I'm talking about when we restrict our food in any way, and it may just be restriction to our brain. But still, when we don't give ourselves permission to have what we really want, and we do that for long enough, like I said, our brain is wired against it. It is going to rebel against restriction. And that is because when we restrict in some way, our brain thinks that we are starving, that we are not going to survive. And so, if we are restricting ourselves, and this is what I want y'all to think about while I'm talking, I just want you all to get curious about how could I be restricting? You may not be, but a lot of times we don't realize that we're restricting ourselves from something. It could even be just like a real innocent kind of thought, like, well, I shouldn't have that today. You know, it's these little diet mentality thoughts. We're talking about diet mentality this month, right? Where it's like, well, I've already had, actually, this happened to me this morning. I heard a thought come in. I had a like an egg and cheese sandwich for breakfast this morning. And in the past, I have restricted bread, carbs, sugar, flour, all that kind of stuff in the past. And at lunch today, I got hungry and I was like, okay, I'm going to have this. But my brain said, you shouldn't have any more bread. You shouldn't have any more, anything with flour in it at lunch today because you had that sandwich for breakfast. Those are the kinds of diet mentality thoughts that we want to start listening. That is restriction. Because what we know, what we teach here in OBS is that for the most part, you can almost eat anything, eat it when you're hungry and stop when you've had enough, and you're going to lose weight. There are always exceptions to every rule, but let's just start out with giving ourselves permission to have what we really want and eating it when we're hungry and stopping when we've had enough. Now, some of y'all may be like, well, that means I'm going to have ice cream every meal. Well, that might last a couple of days and then you'll feel like shit. But restriction can be very sneaky. It can just be a very quick kind of thought of like, oh, well, you shouldn't have that. Oh, well, no, not anymore today. Let's just like maybe let's plan it. We could plan it for tomorrow, but we shouldn't have any more today. It's got a lot of shoulds in it. So it may not be like a sweeping, like no carbs or, keto or, no sugar or whatever it is. But it might be that too. So, where is restriction happening in your life? And what I'm saying is saying your brain is wired against restriction. It doesn't like restriction because it's like we need to survive. So, what happens when we restrict is that a binge is always coming. Because here's the deal, y'all know there's that book out there we talk about sometimes. It's called The Body Keeps the Score. The body keeps the score. The body will even things out. If we restrict something, then the body will make up for it eventually because the body is wired for survival. And so we gotta watch out when we're restricting something. Okay? And so it's really a matter of practicing, giving yourself permission to have things that maybe in the past you've restricted. So I did a video on Facebook today and I told y'all I was going to talk about the seesaw syndrome really quick. And y'all may have heard about the binge restrict cycle. That's exactly what I just described. But it's kind of a like it goes into the binge restrict cycle a little bit more in detail. And it just kind of like had some ahas for me. I drew it out here. You don't see it. know my marker's not like super dark. But what the seesaw syndrome is, and it's kind of like how it's called a seesaw because you kind of go back and forth between binging and restricting, right? And what we want to do is we want to kind of like learn how to kind of start to kind of like live more in the middle, not in a perfect balance ever, but just where we're living there in the middle, you know, where we have this healthier relationship with food. And that involves giving ourselves permission to have what we want. So restricting less. And that means that we will be binging less. Okay. So again, a lot of y'all have seen the binge restrict cycle before, where it's like when we binge or when we restrict, rather, then our body wants to make up for it because it's wired for survival, it's wired against restriction. And so we binge, and the cycle repeats itself over and over again. But what I learned about in the seesaw syndrome or the seesaw effect is that there's this guilt that's involved. And so let me start with binging. So when we binge, okay, often we feel a lot of guilt and shame and judgment. Those feelings feel like shit, right? And so we're like, I don't want to feel that anymore. So let me re now restrict my food. So then I will feel less guilt and less shame and less judgment. But then when I'm feeling less of these feelings, well, it's okay for me to eat again. And then I binge, and then I feel it again, and the cycle continues itself. And so this model kind of like it fits in this like guilt and judgment and shame stuff that I just thought was so interesting because that's the key to all of this, y'all. If we can make all of this less of a big deal when we binge, like there's like this little space in here where we have a thought about our binge that leads us to feel guilty. Well, what if we had a binge and we were a little bit nicer to ourselves afterwards in this space? What if we had a little bit more compassion for ourselves in this space when we binged? Because we reminded ourselves about how the brain works. What if we had a little bit, what if we nurtured ourselves a little bit more after a binge, which is what we teach in the Trusting Your Body course? Then we could stop the cycle right there and we wouldn't have to restrict because we wouldn't be looking for relief from all these feelings. And so I just say all of that. I don't want to get into too much, and we'll put all these notes in the description of the call. But it's like, what if we met, just like Misha is writing about in the chat, what if we met ourselves with some compassion after we binged? Also, just what if we just didn't make our binges such a huge deal and this terrible, horrible thing about us? Then we wouldn't even get into this cycle to begin with, because we would just binge every once in a while, just like I described where I am right now with my binges, where it's like, okay, I binged yesterday. There's probably some restriction going on that I need to get curious about. Today, I'm just going to nurture myself. Do a worksheet from Trusting Your Body, one of my favorites, how to nurture yourself after an overeat. I'm not going to immediately feel, you know, guilt and shame, or I'm going to feel guilt and shame and judgment, and then I'm going to nurture myself through that. So then I don't get into the cycle of restriction and then keep going around and around with it. I'm able to jump out of the cycle. Y'all know those, you know, like a hamster wheel. I talk about this sometimes because growing up, there was this park in my town. And they literally had a human hamster wheel. And it was the most dangerous thing ever at this park. I'm sure they've taken it down right by now because there were so many kids who got hurt on it. But it was literally a human hamster wheel that you could run on. And what kids would do is they would run on it and then like eventually they would like jump out of it. And I always think about that when I think about like a cycle like this, where it's like we are free to jump out of that cycle at any time. And the key is us loving and nurturing ourselves and caring for ourselves after any choice that we make. Okay. So that's what I've got for you today. Let me know if you have questions about it. Put them in the Q&A. There is one question here. And April, if you want to go ahead and raise your hand. There's just a couple of people who have raised their hand for coaching. So yeah, you'll be third. Okay, Cheryl, you are up first. Let's do this. So many good questions in the chat that Mish wrote down. Got some hot tea, y'all. Are you coming on, Cheryl? Make sure I press the right button. Promote to panelists. Okay. Oh, you declined, Cheryl. Okay, go ahead and take your note, your hand down then. Jen, you will be up next. And Cheryl, if you don't know how to take your hand down, it's no big deal. Okay, there's Jen. Hello. Oh, you're driving. Can you put, okay, I can't hear you. You got to unmute. Are you driving or are you riding?
I'm driving, but I'm good.
Yeah, that makes me nervous. Okay, don't look at
I'm
me.
okay. I do
Don't
all
look
my
at me.
Marcos this way. I
Okay.
won't look at you.
Don't look at me. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What's going on?
Okay, so this is my first time being coached, and I just wanted to talk about, so I tend to binge when I'm overwhelmed or stressed. Perfect example would be if I'm at work in a meeting and they're adding more work to my plate, something's going on, I will tend to want to eat Blow Pops, or I want to eat chips, something that, like, same thing like in a movie. If I'm watching a movie, I'm wanting to just have something in my mouth and just constantly eat something, which is bad for me. I'm just really trying to understand, like, how,
Okay, you're making me real nervous, Jen.
no,
It's making, is
I'm
there
fine.
any way you could pull over and talk to me? You could stop and pull over?
Yeah, let me do that.
Okay.
I'm good, but
I
it's
know, but we usually don't have anybody driving. It's just to be safe. I really would love for you to pull over.
yeah, let me pull over. Give me one second.
Okay.
Okay. But that's the gist of it, is I
Okay.
tend to
I'll talk while you're pulling. Okay, I'll talk while you're pulling over, and then go from there. Okay. So basically, you are overeating because you're feeling a feeling, and
Yes.
you're. I mean, it's feelings like over. You said overwhelm and some other feeling.
Yes.
So it's. It's just that's what we talk a lot about here in OBS is, we're eating because we don't want to be with a feeling that is
Yep.
uncomfortable. And so we choose to eat. So this just sounds like, very normal, very kind of textbook process of you're feeling a feeling, let's just say overwhelm. How do you know how overwhelm feels in your body? Have you gotten curious about that?
It's like a either a rapid heart rate, or
Oh.
to me, it's just like I fidget.
Okay. So
Yeah.
it's like it's not a comfortable feeling,
No.
right? But all I mean, I'll agree with you on that, right? But
Yeah.
still, it is just a rapid heartbeat and some fidgeting.
Yeah.
And
I
you're
try to t
choosing
like
to.
tell myself, like, do I really need this, or do I want this because of this? I mean, and it's very hard, especially if I'm in a meeting at work, to like go do something else because I'm strapped to the phone on a meeting, throughout that time. So that's what's hard. And the bad thing is that I'm also type 2 diabetic, so those Blow Pops, I had been eating the Blow Pops, and then all of a sudden when I went to check my sugar, my A1C was up, and that was exactly why, is I was feeding my
Okay. Well, that makes
overwhelmed Blow
sense.
Pops.
Okay. So that makes sense. So this is where we just I mean, we know what's going on now. You're feeling, and maybe you're going to be in a meeting and, you know, you're not going to be able to stop and, you know, kind of, you know, meditate and get all quiet and things like that. But still, even when you're in the meeting, you can take a couple of deep breaths. You can, you know, put your hand on your heart, or you can kind of, you know, clasp your hands together and tell yourself, okay, this is normal. Y'all, she's pulling over. Let's just, we don't need to talk anymore in the chat. She's pulling over, I promise.
Oh my goodness.
If this is not comfortable for you until she pulls over, y'all can leave the call and come back. Okay.
I've pulled over now.
Okay. She's pulled over. She's stopping, even though, okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Jen.
I'm good.
Okay. They're very concerned about you, which you know, I appreciate, but
I pulled over. I'm good.
Okay. Thank you. I had the chat was backing me up that we wanted you to pull over. So it's like you just know what's happening now. And awareness is always the first step, where it's okay, I'm feeling a feeling. I'm not comfortable feeling it. And so here come the urges to eat. Mm-hmm. To cover up the feelings. So what I really want you to do is I want you to go back to the basics. I want you to go back to module one of No BS and listen to those. I actually gave those lessons out today and asked coaches on a question. I give them out multiple times on a weekly basis to my private clients. We need to remind ourselves what feelings are and why we are uncomfortable having them. And then the second lesson in the No BS course is about how to do a body scan. You already know how they feel in your body, but we always keep practicing about how they feel and remind ourselves that feelings, they are vibrations in our bodies, but we're just not used to feeling them. We're not used to being with them if we've been eating to try to push them down or try to cover them up, but that's just temporary and they always come back.
Okay.
What do you
think? Yeah. I mean, I can go and look at it again. It's just, that's the one thing. It's, I can tell you that you hit it right on the money. It's like, I'm doing it to avoid feeling a feeling. Yeah. So it's like, I've moved the blow pops off my desk. you know, when I'm in the office, it's a little bit easier because I pack my snacks. When I'm at home, it's harder because I'll go and just get something to do that. And I tend to plan something that I can munch on. It's just doing that, right? It,
well, and it's, I mean, you know, we can absolutely try to set up our environment for success, right? But that's kind of, you know, and so not having the blow pops in sight and things like that helps you, but ultimately it comes down to, what do I really need right now?
Oh man. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, during the day, it's like 7:30 to 5:00. I am booked all day. So it's very rare for me to even get a minute to just like take a pause.
But you always have access. Again, like I said, on a Zoom call, you have access to your breath at all times. You can take a couple of deep breaths, even if you're sitting here face to face talking to somebody.
Okay.
You have that tool available to you at any time. You can also, I mean, like I said, kind of, you know, I mean, even like out of the way of the camera, the Zoom camera. It's thinking about how your body, this is all, by the way, in the Trusting Your Body Toolkit.
Okay, I have not taken that course.
Okay.
Yeah.
And okay. Mish will put the link to the toolkit in the chat as well and in the show notes. But it talks about grounding techniques. And grounding is really like what it says. It's like you're reminding yourself that your butt is touching the seat. You get in, like, you can just very quickly get in touch with, like, just checking in with yourself. And again, all of that is available to you always. Even if you have to sit at your desk all day. You're available. Because what happens when we have an urge is, like, we're trying to escape ourselves. We're trying to escape our body.
And normally it's the same thing every day on the plan. It's like, well, what are you going to do? And my answer is do something else. And I don't know if that's not the right answer.
Well, I mean, it's not a wrong answer, but it's like, it's still kind of a distraction. right? From actually being with ourselves. But here's the deal. Sometimes it's just not available to us to be with ourselves. So sometimes we do need to distract, and that's totally okay. But sometimes if it's available to us, we want to say, okay, I'm going to be with myself right now, maybe for like 10 seconds. And then maybe I'll choose to eat still, but I'm committed to a pause to learn how to be with myself when I'm feeling these feelings. Okay. And then you just build from there. So
I do the water. I'll do, instead of like, you know, chips, I'll do grapes, something else, but it's just that urge is always there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And that's because you really haven't gotten to the heart of what the urge really is, right? It's like you haven't gotten to what the need really is. You're just replacing like one food with another. And that's fine, again, sometimes. But ultimately, if you're not hungry, you don't need to be eating grapes.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's like, what do I really need right now? That is the most powerful question I think we could ask ourselves. When we know we're not hungry, when we know, you know, food is not the answer, what do I really need right now? And usually it's to be with ourselves, to care for ourselves in some way. And most of us aren't used to, we're not very good at that.
No, I'll pacify it.
We gotta start somewhere.
Yeah.
We gotta start somewhere. So, so you're doing great. You're practicing everything. But I think kind of the new tool for your toolbox is this, what do I really need right now?
Okay.
And see what comes up. See what answers you come up with.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for pulling over.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
No problem.
I didn't think I was going to get picked right away. So.
No problem.
Thank you so
all
much.
Right. See ya. Bye. All right. April, you're up next. We got April, Karen, and then Cheryl. I guess Cheryl did want to get coached because she's back. So get through all y'all. Thank y'all for trying to keep everybody safe. Let's see. There she is. Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right. Oh, there you are. Okay.
Okay.
So I wanted to be coached because I was at work and I was eating chocolates and I stopped at four pieces and I didn't have the chocolates on my plan at all. And then on my lunch, I listened to Wednesday's coaching call about the diet mentality. And it did get me thinking about how when I first was joining, I did used to plan something chocolate, chips, like I did include those things in my day.
Mm-hmm.
I have not been doing that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got like into my head, then more chocolate came into work because it's the holidays. So my favorite came in. Godiva. I did take some, but I did put it in a container for the next day. Like at that point, especially after listening to a call, I was like, okay, I can wait. I can wait. Even though I picked them up like a couple times looking at them, I was like, no, I can wait. But I guess I feel a little conflicted in the sense like I was so proud of backing away from eating pop chips all the time and eating the chocolate and the ice cream. And it wasn't like all the time. I would plan one a day, but I often am hearing in other things I'm listening to as well, like all snacks are emotional eats. And I feel like there's truth to that. And I think that's where I'm struggling to how to balance incorporating the good level foods. If I'm having a real meal that should be sustaining me for a few hours, then how do I keep that on my plan and continue to keep losing? I hope I'm explaining it well.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a couple of things. So, you said, you know, all snacks are emotional eats. I mean, you know, where does hunger fit into this? Are we thinking like when you're not hungry?
I think when I make my meals, they're very like full. I love vegetables. Even as a kid, I love them. So like vegetables, there's a healthy starch and a protein, and I don't know where to fit in a chip in that equation or a piece of chocolate. And
If you
so
were to keep it like, I mean, if you were just to keep it super simple, how could you fit those foods into that equation?
I mean, I understand putting it on the plan, but it's never something I would include in my mind. It's not something I would include in a meal. Like,
Not yet. Because it sounds to me like what you're doing now, it's not working because you're eating that stuff anyway. This is where this is kind of that sneaky little, this is how restriction is a little sneaky. Because you're thinking like, well, I shouldn't plan that stuff for my meals because I'm having all these vegetables and it would be kind of weird or something to include like chips with the vegetables or whatever. But that in a way, that's actually that's you restricting your those foods. And
Yes.
so we see that you are, we see how kind of, the binge is happening or where it's like, okay, you're not giving yourself permission to have those foods because you've got rules around when you should have them. And so
Right.
then you're binging on them.
Right. Yes, I
So
did.
it sounds like the rules maybe need to change a little bit. I will tell you, I'll give you an example of a private client that I have who had this very same thing. And she was just thinking like it's so like she was planning like this ch these chocolate almonds or something. She just it just seemed so weird that she would plan the she wouldn't well she was planning them for a snack and she was like those are snacks foods,
Right.
and so she was only planning them for snacks, but she was never hungry for them when snack time came or when the time came, and I
Yeah.
was like it's time for you to start putting those with a meal. And so that means, because you're not going to eat them otherwise. And so you're restricting yourself from them.
Right.
And so like she put them with a meal and it was a game changer. Like, so she was eating a little bit less of the other food, but she was giving herself permission to have those nuts and she was enjoying them. And then so she didn't need them. And at a, or she, and so it was just a game changer. And so she didn't have, she wasn't overeating them anymore. Because she was giving herself permission, but she had to change her rules too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, what do you think?
I have to think about it. It really was a realization today. I did not realize. I thought, oh, I'm just eating healthy foods and this is great. I'm doing good, but I would binge or eat these things off plan. I will have to think about how I would incorporate those in a meal, but it's a valid point and it makes sense.
Yeah. So just kind of, I mean, this is something very new. And like, again, this is going against some rules that you had.
Yeah.
So just, kind of honor that and just know that you kind of need to marinate on this for a while and get
Yeah.
curious, right? But what we know, this is your example is so good, April, of an example of how an overeat or a binge or an off-plan eat is such like a benevolent message to us. It's such like it's kind of like that check engine light on your car. It's like, ooh, there's something to look at here, right? And if we can stay out of, all the shame and judgment, we can get curious and figure it out.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing. I can tell that the wheels are turning.
Have to think about how I'm going to do it, but it definitely, I think, has been part of an issue that I was not aware of. Like, I definitely think I have more rules in my mind that I was not acknowledging as rules. So,
You know what I would love? I was looking at what Jean put in the chat. She said my meals look like mini charcuterie. I think what we need to do more in our Facebook group and like to take it, like what our Facebook group is perfect for, like the binge group, the main group, is to literally post what we are eating, like our plates. Because I think actually the coaches were talking about this the other day, like I don't know what y'all think we eat or what Corinne eats or whatever, but I think a lot of times It's again, we don't, it's not even like we intentionally do, but we just kind of create these rules or what we think is right or good or, and it's like, yeah, we eat these things. Like, and it's okay. Like we eat these things and we've lost weight and we've maintained our weight. And so just sharing more of that for all the members to share more of that because it makes more things okay.
I agree. That might be nice to see too. Like, I think I felt it was easier to incorporate them in the beginning. And now that I've hit 60 or 55 or whatever I'm at, like, it was time to let it go. Those are snack foods and not real foods. And so, yeah, I'll have to think a lot about it.
Yeah, it's like it's time to let it go. Is that, I mean, are you sure about that? Is that really true?
I don't know now.
Well, that's okay. But just, I want you to just kind of ponder on that, right? Just kind
Yeah,
of question
I
it.
know. Yeah. And
Just
I
question
think about how to incorporate it. I can't concentrate on the chat at the same time as talking, but I did see my peripheral about nachos and veggies or something. So chips and veggies or something. So I will read through the chat and the suggestions, and I think I'm gonna have to be a little bit more creative with how I make my meal plan. I think I've gotten into a pattern of this, that, and the other, and not really incorporating everything in a creative way. So I'll have to think about
Okay.
that.
All right. All right. I love it. I love it. Can't wait to hear. All right. I'm going to bring the next person up. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Bring Karen up. But I would love for someone to start a show me your plate post. Let's share our plates. Let's really get like real about what we're eating here. And not some, pie in the sky, la la land, food. Like we're eating real food. All right, Miss Karen, let me get you side by side with me. All right. How you doing?
Better.
Okay.
I'm making steps forward. But I'm sorry, you can hear my cat yelling at me in the background. I just got home and he has not had proper attention.
I was going to say he hasn't had his proper greeting. On with us.
It wasn't just a binge yesterday, it was the fact that I overate until I purged.
And
And I have
what
not
do you think about
done
that?
what all over the place, mad, disappointed, it's been over 3 years since I've purged. And I've lived in my house for a little over 2 years, and I promised myself I would not do that behavior here. And then I did. So that made me even more upset because I didn't keep a promise to myself.
What if I told you this same story that I made a promise to myself that I didn't keep? And I'm feeling really disappointed and bad about myself. What would you tell me?
That you did your best. That some promises you can have the best intention, but keeping them doesn't always work.
How does that feel? If you were to say that to yourself.
In my brain, I'm going, but.
Of course. But I'm different.
Yeah. I'm special.
I'm special. It's our lot in life here in No BS, right?
And the thing is with the situation, it stemmed from my mother, but not anything she said. It was from my reaction. And I didn't like my reaction, my behavior.
Okay.
Because it reflected what I don't like in her.
Okay, so that makes even more sense. You were feeling something, you were judging yourself for feeling something, then you were judging your mom, then you were judging yourself for judging your mom. The judgment
yep.
was piling on higher and higher and higher. And your
yep.
brain
and
was desperate to get out from under that.
And I didn't set out with the intention. It was not, hey, you know what I'm going to do? And it wasn't any urge. It was just, when I started eating, I got some comfort. And then it turned into just continuing and piling it on. And I think somewhere I realized I was punishing myself.
I don't agree with that, Karen.
That's how I felt. I felt like
I think you were desperately trying to care for yourself in that moment. If you were trying to punish yourself, you probably wouldn't have purged. You would have kept it in. Maybe. Ever thought of that?
No, I tried. I pushed myself to the point of being physically sick. Even my breathing was compromised. Mm-hmm. Now, the twisted part is there was a little part of me that went, wow, I can't eat as much as I used to.
That's interesting.
I mean, in the worst of my eating disorder, what I had last night was just, would have been an overeat before. And it was, and I mean, I pushed it to physical pain and crying.
Yeah. It's okay. You were just trying to feel better. You were desperately trying to feel better. You were desperately trying to find relief.
And I didn't want to tell anybody.
And here you are.
You know, I started with my best friend. And even her, I was like, you're going to be so disappointed in me. You're going to be everything. And she was like, nah, you could have killed your mom and I'd still be proud of you.
I like her.
I am desperately trying to bring her into the No BS world. I am.
I thought you were going to say something, but you were desperately trying to like, isn't this horrible thing I did to myself, friend? And she was like, no, and I'm not going to buy into it either.
No, she was like, I'm here for the tough love.
I'm telling you, you just made a choice. You just tried to take care of yourself in the only way you knew how in that moment.
And I think I'm trying to unravel, and let me step back and say, I am proud of myself
mm-hmm.
because I reached out to her
mm-hmm.
and I decided to share it in the group because keeping a secret makes it too easy to do again.
Yeah. Keeping a secret keeps the shame going. Shame
exactly.
Train going.
And I can say for the first time, I wasn't ashamed of myself. I mean, I'm not by any means proud. But I know there's more behind it. It's just the combination of being so cruel to myself and going down a path I don't want to go down again.
Good reminder. You got a really good reminder of that yesterday.
And then it kind of turned into a little bit of imposter syndrome and feeling, you know, here I have people thinking I'm strong and I'm making progress, and no, I'm not.
Yes, you are. You have just told me in the past you would not have shared. You would not have told your friend. You would not have gotten on this coaching call. You would have eaten a lot more. All these signs.
Oh, God, I wouldn't even admit to having an eating disorder.
You would not have even talked about it. That is progress.
I guess it just felt so bad because I thought I was finally getting somewhere, and then I felt like I lost everything.
What if that was just an old shitty thought? Here he is. I mean, that is total bullshit, Karen. That's what our brain wants to do. We have gone backwards. We have, you know, just lost it all. Very dramatic. No, you made a choice yesterday, and here we are. That's it. We've got to take the reins here and take the drama and the absolutist, I mean, language out of it. It's just not true. It really does not have to be a huge deal.
I don't want it to be.
Well, I just want you to just consider that. Could this just, I mean, you know, kind of walk around with that possibility that, like, I really don't have to make this a huge deal. My brain wants to. But
I need to work more with still figuring out other ways to comfort myself.
But here's the deal, Karen. Like I said, what if this just happens? I mean, you said what? It's been 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Every 3 years. Anything that, like, you think about that might, you know, help you, it just wasn't accessible to you yesterday.
It wasn't. It was a freight train just barreling.
I mean, just like every 3 years, but, like, could that be okay? I mean, sounds like you're, I mean, it could be.
Could be. Maybe 4 years.
Okay. Maybe go for 4 years, but still.
I think, and like I said, I'm going to talk to my therapist more about it tomorrow. I see the progress I've made with my mother, and the fact that her words, she can say whatever.
Yeah. It's always us, right? It's what you make it mean. And how you interpret it.
And it is. I have told my two of my three brothers the resentment I have for them and the jealousy. Because it's kind of like, you know, when you had the line and say, okay, who's going to volunteer? And the other one step back and you're left in the front. That's it. I'm it.
You've decided to show up.
And
every once in a while, it feels like, yeah, You just kind of, it feels like too much, or it feels like, you know, you really
I
believe.
Wanted to get on a plane last week and go to a different state, get a new identity, become just
yeah, of course,
get out of it.
It's okay. It's okay.
And I think that's, you know, the part that I'm struggling with is I can't get out of it. I mean, I could. Yeah, I could cut her off. I could do all that.
You don't want to.
But that's not where my heart is. And that's not the person I am. And to do that to her would be as cruel as she's treated me, and I'm better than that.
Okay. I'm glad we got this on tape. Because you can go back and you can watch your, you can listen to what you just said, and you can watch, you can look at your face. That's your truth right there.
Yeah.
That's your truth. That's who you want to be.
It is. I'll be damned if I treat anyone like a piece of shit.
Okay, that's not you.
No. I have every right to abandon her. I have all the justification in the world, but that's not me. And I won't be that person. And I know.
She gave you the gift of teaching you who you didn't want to be.
Yeah. And I think that's what hit me, was being mean back to her was her. And I felt like, oh my God, I'm more like her than I think. And that thought really destroyed me in the moment.
Yeah. You believed that for just a moment.
And the funny thing is, I didn't even yell. I raised my voice. I don't even think I could do what she did to me growing up in my life. But I just felt that little bit like, you are her.
And so we know that right there is what led to your choice. Because how did that feel when you believed that for just a moment?
I'd rather die than be like her.
Pretty darn scary. And when we're that scared, we'll do anything.
Yeah.
To get out of it.
I mean, I know I'm not her.
But it's okay that you just believe that for a minute. All right. So I'm glad to hear you're going to work with your therapist more. We've just today worked on just normalizing all this.
I can't say thank you enough to everybody here who is just here for me.
Yeah, you had some people reach out and ask me to look for you.
That,
I wanted it to be your choice on whether you you came on, but I had to let you know that there were some folks who wanted to see you on here tonight, and I'm so glad that you came on. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. You take care of yourself.
I will. Thank you.
All right.
You.
All right. We're going to finish things up with Cheryl. Okay, she's coming on. All right. So much love in the chat for Miss Karen. I just love our little corner of the world, y'all. It's pretty amazing. All right, Cheryl, I'm going to ask you to unmute and start your video. Hey, there you are. Oh, it's kind of dark.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
Oh. And my dog is barking. Ah, after that call, I don't know. Oh, my goodness. Karen just said, I think, everything that I needed to say, I feel like.
Okay. Well, everything. Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad it helped you.
Here, turn on light. Okay. Yeah. So, I don't know. I have a history of crazy binge and purge behavior and everything. And so I do understand that, like, when will it ever end? Am I not old enough for it to go away and things like that? And I haven't purged in several years. So, I mean, I do understand that like, at least I haven't purged feeling. So I understand that completely. So however, okay, here's my question, I guess, that I kind of was wondering about. And I've not been in OBS long, but I have done a lot of different things over the years, you know, counseling and different things to try to conquer this binge behavior. And I want to know, I guess, is what I did yesterday, is that truly a binge, or is it just like a crazy overeat? And am I approaching, if I'm approaching it as, oh, this is a binge, and when it's really an overeat, am I dealing with it incorrectly? That's what I want to know. Okay. And so, for example, I kind of made a protocol about Friday night that I was going to eat, you know, some popcorn. I was going to eat in a little bowl, and I did, and everything was good. And I was so happy with myself. And I journaled about, you know, how good I was and everything. And then Saturday, I guess I was okay somewhat Saturday, but then I started eating. Well, Sunday was like, I could not ever stop eating. I must have eaten my way through Sunday. I mean, there wasn't nothing I didn't eat. And it was just to the point of ridiculousness. I was eating things I didn't even like white chocolate. I hate white chocolate. And so at the end, I did, you know, did a Marco Polo with my accountability partners. I was like, I don't even know what happened to me. I don't know why. But it wasn't a binge like where I'm eating a whole bunch of stuff in a short amount of time. It was literally like an all day eating event. Like, and I felt like, I guess I got up this morning feeling like, or even last night, like I'd been an alcoholic on a binge, you know, on a bender or whatever, you know. So I don't know if maybe is that just, am I just overeating? And I'm approaching it. Should I be approaching this as binging? Should I be approaching this as overeating? I mean, I want to make sure I'm handling this the right way so I can get over this.
Okay. Finally, maybe. So here's the deal, Cheryl. I don't care what you call it. It just doesn't matter what you call it. What I hear you doing a lot of as you're describing what you're doing is you're really, really judging yourself for the choice that you made. I hear crazy. I hear bad. I hear big, big things. And that's what Karen and I talked about too, right? It's like, all you did was just make some choices this weekend to put food in your mouth.
But I don't like the feeling when it's out of control. I feel much better when my choices are in control. You know, when like, okay, I need popcorn. I'm only going to eat it out of the bowl. I'm going to have one small bowl of popcorn, and I do that, and I'm fine. And I don't understand why, when I can have some success like that, then I didn't restrict. I allowed myself to have things, so I wasn't restricting. And I don't understand why then I went into a binge mode.
Mm-hmm. Well, what if we were just to get curious about, let's just say that you did make the choice, because you did. You weren't out of control. Because if I'd said, you know, I'm going to kill your kids if you don't stop eating right now, you would have been able to stop eating.
Yes. Yeah.
So you did make the choice. And if we can kind of get out of some shame and judgment for a minute, we can get curious about what might have been going on. Why do you think you kept eating? If we were just to make it not a huge deal, just get curious here. And just see it as just one day of some choices. What might have been going on? What might have been going on during that time?
I don't know, because I ate things I didn't even like. I mean,
What do you think you were needing in that moment when you were eating the stuff? What did you think you needed right then?
Well, I don't know, because I kept trying to tell myself, you can have this later. You know, you don't have to eat it all today. And I know I've been on 1,000 diets. And so I understand that for me, every restriction has an equal and opposite binge. And so I've tried to be real careful since I've been on OBS. And, you know, I've lost 25 pounds. I've made my maintenance goal
probably 20 pounds higher than my, you know, low weight. So I could feel fine. It's a weight I can feel normal at and I can sustain without having to restrict. Mm-hmm. And so I've thought, well, I've been so careful, you know, about trying to make sure that I'm not getting into that mindset again.
And maybe what happened is that you did get into that mindset just because you're normal. And
yeah,
it's just a habit that came back for a little while. And because you made it such a big deal in your mind and you were really judging yourself, here we go. Because what we know that a lot of times what happens with a binge, even if it's just like, it's like we're judging ourselves and that feels terrible, so let's keep eating. Well, here I ate more stuff. I suck even more. Well, that feels terrible. Let me eat even more. And this, you know, it just continues on because you're judging yourself so much with it. And you're thinking you shouldn't be doing it.
So do you think that's what happened is as I started and I thought, well, I shouldn't be doing it. Then I kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it instead of stopping.
Yeah. Because you were looking for you kept looking for relief from all the judgment you were giving yourself. And in that moment, it was food. You were looking for the relief through the food.
How do you stop judging? Mm-hmm. How do I stop doing this? I mean, I'm telling my brain, okay, it's okay. You know, I'm telling them all I've listened to like tons of stuff. Yeah. I mean, I've even did the Trust in Your Body course.
Yeah.
I probably did it too fast. I need to go back and do it again, but yeah, I feel like I'm desperate.
That would probably be good. Yeah.
That's why I'm telling you, listening to Karen, just like, oh my goodness. I mean, it was just, I was sitting here almost shaking because I can feel her desperation to please just let this be over. I just want to be normal. You know, mm-hmm.
Well, and that's more of the judgment, right?
Not being normal. Okay. That's more judgment.
That's more judgment thinking that you're abnormal for doing this sometimes.
Okay. Yeah. No, all right. Well, then how do you stop that?
Mm-hmm. Well, first off, you tell yourself. First off, you tell yourself, I mean, you know, again, this is what worked for me. Is that I told myself I don't ever have to like stop it totally to be okay and to be a good person and to be a normal person. Because if we keep just saying we want to stop it, that's fueled by more judgment. We've got to just meet our like, okay, I'm doing this and it's okay. I'm doing this and this doesn't make me bad. You're asking kind of like, how can you, I mean, like in the moment, one of the most accessible things you can do is just say, okay, I can have more food, but I'm going to stop for like 30 seconds and just give myself the gift of a pause. It's called the pause plus permission process. And it's like, you just say, okay, I can keep eating if I want to in 30 seconds, but I'm going to set a timer. And I'm going to sit here and take a few deep breaths and maybe see what I really need in this moment. So that's something that you can do in kind of the middle of a binge. Sometimes that's not accessible to you. Sometimes you just got to finish out the food and then practice being kind and nurturing to yourself afterwards. And we teach about that in the Trusting Your Body course.
Yeah, I did. I've written myself that after a binge, I will not feed myself. You know what I'm saying? The next day, because I've done that, you know, like fasted the next day or whatever. And so I've made a promise to myself and I did that. I got up this morning and I wrote my plan like it was a normal day. I even put a dessert on there. I mean, I just wasn't going to punish myself. So I'm trying not to do that. You know, and that's helped. I really can say that I'm better, you know, than I was. I don't know. I guess yesterday I was just hoping. I was disappointed in myself.
So what I think would be really good for you to do, and I mentioned this earlier, my favorite resource in the Trust in Your Body course is the How to Nurture Yourself After an Overeat worksheet. And it is in Trust in Your Body. And I want you to do that. you know, and focus on your overeat that you had yesterday. Overeat, binge, whatever we want to call it. Same thing.
Don't overthink the terms. Okay. That honestly was my main question. Was this, am I just, maybe because I guess my purging behaviors, I haven't come up in years. And so I thought, well, maybe I'm not really binging anymore. Maybe I'm overeating and maybe I'm approaching that this wrong. And that's why I'm not getting as much relief as I've wanted.
No, the thing for you, it's not a problem, right? But the thing for you is that you've just got so much judgment and shame behind it. And so it's time for you to, you know, the judgment and shame is probably going to come up first. I don't know. For me, it always does. And then what? It's time for me to nurture myself. It's time for me to care for myself. It's time to see if maybe I can learn something from this. And that's what I want you to do now. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. You take care of yourself.
Yeah.
All right.
All righty.
Bye. All right, y'all. Such good coaching today. I hope you all learned a lot. I would love to hear, what y'all learned from this call, from the coaching, from the teaching I did at the beginning about the binge restrict cycle. I would love to see what you all learned. Let me know. Corinne said this the other day on a call that she did. And she encouraged everyone to, you know, to post in the Facebook group and tag her. And I would love for y'all to post in our binge support group and let me know what you learned. And just let me know what kind of was an aha for you, because you never know. Maybe it was just, I saw someone, you know, being just a little bit less judgmental about a decision that they made. And it just made me think, maybe I could be like that someday. Doesn't have to be a big, huge, you know, aha or anything. It can just be something where it's like, you know what? I'm thinking that maybe I might want to try planning, you know, a dessert for a meal and see how that goes. Like what I was talking about with April. Or just something that you all took from this call that maybe somebody else might read and they might resonate with it too. Because I just think we're all here to learn from each other. We're all here to share with each other. And you just never, never know what you're going to see, what you're going to read, what you're going to hear that could make all the difference. Okay. All right, y'all. That is all I've got. I hate it. I want to sit here and like read through the whole chat and just chat with y'all all night, but I got to go. I'm a little bit over time anyway. Thank you so much, Coach Mish, for handling the chat. I saw you over there. You're doing awesome. And just, you know, really boiling down what we were talking about in the coaching and sharing it in the chat. I love that we saved the chat so that y'all can read that and review that. And Karen and everyone else who is coached, be sure and review the chat when it comes out on the replay, because there's so much love for all of y'all in here. Y'all, I know it is not easy to raise your hand and get on camera and talk to me about binging and purging. Okay. It takes courage, and not everyone is ever going to do it. And that's okay, because there are other people who will step up. And I'm telling you, it took me a long time to talk about my experiences. It's not easy, but it's absolutely, I just know that every time I share anything, I know it makes a difference. And it's just, we're all in this together. And when we bring this up into the light, the shame can't exist when we are talking about it and sharing it. It's because shame likes to hide in the dark. But let's come up into the light and let's talk about this and support each other. Okay. All right, guys. I love you all so much. Take care. And I will be around in Ask Coaches in the Facebook group and the Bench Support group. And I'd love to hear what you learned tonight. Okay. Take care. Bye.